Welcome to Health Connections, the show about people, health, and policy. This is Dr. Carol Myers from the University of Tennessee College of Nursing. Our topic today is integrated care. An idea promoted by René Descartes in 1641 and supported by Sir Isaac Newton is having negative influence on healthcare today in the 21st century. Descartes was a proponent of the idea of a separation between the mind and the body, saying the two did not and could not influence one another. The same idea was promoted by the highly influential Catholic Church, who said that the physical body could be, quote-unquote, given over to science, but the mind and spirit were the domain of God and the Church. I'm pleased to welcome today Dr. Perinda Khatri to Health Connections. Dr. Khatri is a clinical psychologist who serves as the chief clinical officer of Cherokee Health Systems.
Thank you.
Is it enough to say that the mind and body are connected, like there's a bridge between the two? Doesn't this reinforce this old idea that the mind and body are separated, but just in a less detrimental way?
Yes, I think that one thing we know now, frankly from research, but also our emotional experience, is that the mind and body are interconnected. It's more than just a bridge.
We've seen manifestations of what you've just said, things like loneliness has a high association with heart disease, or we know that physical workouts actually improve our memory. What we have today in healthcare systems are primary care providers provide about half of the mental health care for common disorders, things like anxiety, depression, substance abuse, and they prescribe about 80% of all the antidepressants. But there's an underbelly to this. The behavioral health care people receive from primary care providers is suboptimal. There's inadequate follow-up and monitoring of these very important conditions, and many problems still go undetected, undertreated, or untreated. We also know that when a primary care provider does make a referral to a behavioral health care provider, that only about 25% of the people make it to that first visit. We know that the mind and body shouldn't be separated, and neither should health care. They need to be interconnected also. There's a lot of evidence about this. Could you talk more about this, about what we see in today's healthcare delivery system when it comes to primary care and behavioral healthcare?
You know, one thing that unfortunately has plagued our healthcare system, which many call a sick care system, actually, is the fragmentation of care. That we are all whole people, you know, the systems of the body are interconnected, yet people often have to go to multiple specialists, multiple providers to get care in a very piecemeal fashion. And that's not necessarily an effective way or a valuable way of helping people get healthier.
Right. I understand that there's some estimates that we spend from $26 to $48 billion more on this fragmented system. And as we've already said, people aren't getting good outcomes. If you go to your primary care provider, presumably for physical care, and you get some behavioral health care, it's not good. But we also know the reverse is true. If you have persistent mental illness, you also more commonly have chronic illness, and the early death is much more pronounced, 13 to 30 years, depending on the studies, that people with chronic mental illness and chronic physical illness have that much less life expectancy.
Yeah, it's striking that for people who have a severe and persistent mental illness in the United States, their life expectancy is the same of people living in sub-Sahara Africa. That certainly does not feel right, particularly given our $3 trillion healthcare expenditure that we have. I think what's important for us is to focus on access to care, that people need to feel comfortable getting care wherever they feel is their healthcare home. For some, that may be a primary care setting. For some, it may be more specialty care setting. But we need to reorganize the way we deliver care.
If you were given a magic wand, and I know you actually attempt to do this in your day-to-day work, what would healthcare look like? And when we talk about the concept of integrated care, what does that mean?
integrated care is really grounded in the principles of team-based care, that rather than having people working in silos, we have people working together. We put our providers in the same space. They talk to one another and coordinate at the point of that patient care contact. And we want patients to get access to behavioral health in the moment, not to be given a card to make an appointment. Maybe they'll be seen in 6 weeks. Sometimes it's even longer. So our goal is access and communication and collaboration.
Okay, so let's paint a picture for our listeners about what a patient encounter might look like in the system that you've described. I'm a young mother with my first child, and I know as a nurse that many visits for well children is more anticipatory guidance than anything, helping parents know what to anticipate and helping them deal with common things given their child's age. So I take my child to a clinic that practices integrated care. What would it look like to me?
Well, if you had just delivered a baby, you know, if you have a newborn, you would actually be screened for postpartum depression because we know that there is high risk of experiencing depressive symptoms that can impact the health of the child as well as the attachment for the mother. The other piece is we have our behavioral health consultants or psychologists talk with people about typical development. What are any concerns that you may have as a new parent? I certainly wish when I first had my two kids that I had a parenting expert or someone to talk to about how do I put my child to sleep? What do I do when I get frustrated? So our goal is to actually embed wellness, health behaviors throughout the continuum of health.
Let's paint a different patient scenario. Let's say that I'm an adult with serious mental illness, and I show up at a clinic because perhaps my symptoms are worsening and I'm having trouble functioning. But I also have hypertension and diabetes, which are very common in that population. How would a visit for a patient that I just described be different in an integrated care model?
So imagine a system in which you had to go to one doctor for your hypertension, one doctor for diabetes, one doctor for behavioral health, one doctor for your psychiatric medications. That's a very expensive, clunky system. Our goal is to address all of those needs in that one visit. So most likely, you would be assessed by a nurse or medical assistant. And even if you did not know, if you did not have the diagnosis, you'd be screened for any substance use or depressive symptoms. And then working with your team, which would probably include a primary care provider, a clinical psychologist or a clinical social worker, potentially a community health coordinator to help with self-management of those chronic health problems, perhaps even a clinical pharmacist. So by the time you left that visit, you could have met with maybe five people, but you would leave with one plan and some goals in terms of the things that you could do to improve your management of diabetes, hypertension, and depression. And interestingly enough, because our mind and body are connected, this does not mean that you have three different goals. You know, engaging in a care plan, setting goals for improvement of hypertension, diabetes, and depression may all involve some of the same changes. So I think recognizing that improving health behaviors has an impact across all aspects of your health is a key part of integration.
But I'm back at our patient scenario, and I'm the adult with a serious mental illness and a chronic physical illness, and you said I might see five providers. I'm going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching. Is there the potential to pay for integrated care differently that doesn't rely on our old fee-for-service model, which could be a major barrier to what you're describing?
In fact, some of the changes that we're seeing in the financing of healthcare are really parallel to what we want to do clinically. So, for example, pay for performance, value-based payment, where you're not paying for little widgets of care, you're paying for outcomes. And in fact, we have worked very hard to negotiate our contracts with insurance companies so we do get paid for outcomes, and we can show that we are keeping people from going to the emergency room. Our quality metrics are much higher than those of other health centers across the country. So I think it's important for us to show that this is more valuable from a financial perspective. You're getting more bang for the buck, for lack of a better term. Right now, the fee-for-service system is not sustainable. And I think we're going to have to find other ways of paying for healthcare.
Okay, let's say you've convinced one of our listeners that this is something that's important to them and they want to explore integrated care options. How does someone do that? How do they know if the primary care provider or the behavioral health care provider they're selecting or looking at engages in integrated care? What are the questions they should ask?
I think they should ask, what is your model of care here? What can I expect in terms of getting all the components of my health care addressed? And if that is not there, you can ask. I think what's one shift that we are seeing and we want to see more of is that people are consumers. People need to be active and engaged in their own health care. We cannot stay passive any longer. I think the old model was people would show up and want to be fixed. Give me a pill or give me some surgery and fix me. But actually, 99% of your healthcare happens outside of the doctor's office. And so understanding what you can get from that visit is important. So I encourage everyone to ask questions. Try to share information that you think is important. If you're experiencing stress, if you're sad, if you've been drinking more than you feel is comfortable, bring that up. That is part of your healthcare. And then ask for that degree of information and collaboration. I would also urge everyone to be very clear with their providers that it's important for them to talk with one another. You know, right now our system is so siloed, it's hard to get information shared. But if we send the message to everyone and to each other that we want to be active in our care, we want our providers and systems to talk with one another, I think we'll all feel better about the continuity of care in our kind of healthcare environment.
Well, thank you so much for being on Health Connections today and sharing with our listeners a very exciting concept. And I guess I need to remind our listeners, this is reality in some practices. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.